There was nothing remarkable about my mug. It was white and tapered, wider at the top than at the bottom, with a sturdy handle that offered a comfortable, confident grip as I sipped my morning coffee. But now it's gone, and I'm in mourning. It developed a hairline fracture months, if not years ago, the fissure seeming not to threaten the drinking experience until one recent morning when I poured a cup of coffee and noticed a puddle spreading across the kitchen counter. I have other mugs, obviously, some of them more aesthetically pleasing than my now former favorite mug. For example, there's a handsome blue one in the cupboard from the gift shop at the Museum of the Moving Image in Queens, New York. Then there's a bold red mug with a white cross, the colors and design of the Swiss flag. Mugs run in our family, particularly promotional mugs. Never one to pass up a freebie, my father, who had an ad agency, was the recipient of numerous sample mugs as well as flashlights, keychains, rulers, etc., all of which were imprinted with some variation of the theme, "Your message here." In other words, that was the space where you get to promote your company to favored clients if you ordered, say, 50,000 ashtrays or, obviously, mugs. That also explains the motley crew of mugs in our cupboard growing up. Plastic mugs, metal mugs, mugs with foam to prevent you from burning your fingers. When I was cleaning out my parents' apartment recently, I even found a Middlebury College mug circa 1975. Apparently, something about the mug so conjured my college experience that I swiped it upon graduation. What I find interesting about mugs is how and why, for reasons I believe test the limits of language, we develop an attachment to some rather than others, and generally one in particular. I don't want to minimize my affection for my wife and children, but there's a connection that one might almost or definitely describe as emotional, associated with your favorite mug, that replicates the experience, the familiarity, the ease, and the comfort that one feels towards beloved family members. There's probably also some sort of circadian element to it. When you pour your morning coffee or tea, your brain still muddled from sleep, you're not in a state of mind where you want the responsibility of having to make hard choices. You simply want to reach into the kitchen cabinet and spot your friendly mug sitting there waiting to be called into service. If ever there was a moment where form follows function, this is it. Frills and decoration are fine, but only if they don't interfere with your mug's responsibilities as a caffeine delivery system. On the occasions when my mug isn't instantly accessible, I'm thrown into confusion, which actually happens fairly frequently because part of my wife's charm is that she's not habitual. After emptying the dishwasher, my mug may find itself on one of several different shelves, either staring me straight in the face or hidden behind a half dozen other mugs, cups, glasses, what have you. Unfortunately, unless something is staring me flat in the face, I generally find it impossible to locate. I know my spouse isn't doing this to torment me. Even though she grows impatient, if not occasionally disappointed and depressed, that she married an individual incapable of the mental dexterity required to believe that whatever it is you're seeking can be found simply by moving other objects out of the way. By the way, she has her own favorite mug, though it's actually a classic coffee cup that looks like something from a 50s TV ad. My attachment to my mug pales in comparison to hers towards her cup. The tragic fact is that all such receptacles will eventually fail through use, through accidents, or just the daily trauma of being subjected to sinks and dishwashers, followed by the rough and tumble of jockeying for position in the typically overcrowded kitchen cabinet. My wife's friends and our children scour everything from garage sales to the internet in search of duplicates in case some calamity wipes out her stock. If our marriage is stable at the moment, it may be that she has several identical coffee mugs in reserve. With me, the situation is different and more dire. I own two of the same mug, one for the city, the other for the country. My country mug continues to function, but has developed the same hairline fracture that sabotaged my city mug, probably the way that identical twins that share similar DNA of kindred spirits and are prone to the same diseases. It's only a matter of time until my country mug will also require burial. By the way, is there anything more discouraging than a mug whose handle breaks while the rest of the vessel remains perfectly intact? As much as you want to save it, you know that if you glue the handle back on, it's eventually going to break, probably scalding you in the process. I'm reasonably confident I'll find a replacement mug. or better yet, find a duplicate of my favorite mug somewhere in the universe. I might even get over the loss and eventually graduate to a new, perhaps even better mug. But I doubt it.